You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Yo. Welcome back to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We're breaking down NFL Week 5 today. I'm a co-host here, Jeff Clark, and I'm also here with the homie, handicapping homie, that is, gambling consigliere and managing editor of our presenting website, sportsbookwire.usatoday.com. You'll hear from Eston in 1 second, but first, let me bring in for her second appearance of the Bet Slippin' Podcast, Yahoo Sports betting analyst and content producer, the great Minty Betts.
Hello, everyone. Great to be back. Let's make some money this week.
Damn right. I love your energy. Actually, I have the same winning percentage as when you came on the first time. I am 10-10 in the circuit contest, so 50%, and I was 0-0 in week one. So you brought a lot of good luck to me. I was 4-1 in week one. Hopefully, you bring the same amount of luck, and you did a great job handicapping the games as well. So can't wait to get into this slate with you and pick up some kernels or some nuggets of sports betting, just wisdom. Real quick, Eston, what's up, brother?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Minty. Yeah, likewise with you, Jeff. Had a great week one after discussing the games with Minty and, you know, stringing together my first back-to-back winning weeks coming into week five here. So onward and upward to much better things in week five and then continue on through the rest of the season.
All right. Well, we're a little bit behind schedule because behind the curtain, I'll lift the curtain here. I had several technical issues, and so we're going to speed right along and go right into the NFL slate. What do you think?
Love it. Let's do it.
Works for me. Before we get into the slate, though, a little word from our sponsor, Tipico Sportsbook. They're a global sports betting leader as now live in New Jersey and Colorado. Make your favorite sports more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook app. For a limited time, new users from the podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Terms and conditions apply. 21 and up. See sites for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey. 1-800-522-4700 for Colorado. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. And now we can go into the Thursday night matchup between the 3-1 Los Angeles Rams and the 2-2 Seattle Seahawks. Thursday night football again, 8:20 p.m. Rams coming off that 37-20 home shellacking at the hands of the Arizona Cardinals. The Seahawks had a 28-21 win over the San Francisco 49ers. The Rams are -135 money line favorites, Seattle +110 home underdog, -2.5 points for the Rams, -110 odds on either side of that, 54.5 point total, -112 for the over, -108 for the under. You know, my base logic here is that the Rams, they got to bounce back, and they now have to try to keep pace with the Cardinals atop that, what's become kind of a watered down NFC West. Coming into the season, it was, you know, lauded as the best division in football. Looked like it through 2 weeks, the Seahawks and now the San Francisco 49ers have dipped off a bit. Cardinals have that lead 4-0, big matchup last week, a big win on the road, a big upset, really. Rams, they're in a good spot to bounce back here, I think. Seattle defense, really, really struggling. Los Angeles 4-0 against the over-under. They're just putting up points as they did last week. You know, came up obviously way too short, but we know what that offense can do. And I give a pretty big defensive edge to Los Angeles through what we've seen from both teams through 4 weeks.
Ooh, I gotta push back on that one, Eston. I think LA's rush defense is trash, and they're gonna let Seattle's offense stay on schedule. Their pass defense actually done pretty good against Russell Wilson. I think they've met nine times in the Sean McVay era, and they're 6-3 straight up and against the spread. Wilson's only got a 61.8 completion rate, nine touchdowns, a nine interception ratio, 82.6 quarterback rating. So his numbers are subpar, especially by his standards. But in those games, Seahawks are averaging 4.7 rushing yards per carry, and they have 17 touchdowns in those nine games. So Rams defense, rush defense, real bad this year, 27th in yards per carry on the defensive end, 30th in rushing EPA, 26th in rush defense success rate. And I believe Seattle is going to use its legit home field advantage. Since 2016, they're 15-3 straight up and 11-6-1 against the spread in home primetime games. It's tapered off a tad. Seattle's alternating between like covers and non-covers in the last seven games, but I really like their defense in this sense because they're sixth in explosive pass defensive rate, seventh in explosive rush defensive rate, and they're sixth on missed tackles. So they're doing a good job wrapping up. We know McVay likes to get the wide receivers in space. So Stafford's going to need to be patient because Seattle doesn't let up big plays and they're good tackling. I lean to the Seattle money line. I'm going to like them for a teaser leg that I'll bring to the window with me. Minnie, what do you got?
Oh, well, I think this is going to be a really tough matchup because I don't like to bet against Russell Wilson. So I'm going to look to the total instead. I think you said it's 54.5, which is quite a bit. Seattle's defense is hit or miss, it seems, but I like the Rams to tighten up their defense, pressure Russ, and keep it under this total, as three of their last meetings between LA and Seattle went under. So I like the under, and I lean the Rams to get this one, but I wouldn't bet it any higher than 2.5.
All right, that works for me. I'm in line with both those picks. I like the under pick, and you know, just to recap last season, three meetings, including the playoffs, the Rams won two of the three. The winner covered the spread each time. Small lean to the Rams, minus 2.5 and the under. I'm with you, Minty, so far. And then we go over to London for Sunday's first game, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time kickoff. The New York Jets at 1-3 and the Atlanta Falcons also at 1-3. Because of an ugly loss last week, 34-30 on home field to the Washington football team. Meanwhile, the Jets upset the injury-ravaged Tennessee Titans 27-24 on their home field in overtime. But the Jets, 1-3 against the spread, 1-3 over-under. Falcons, 1-3 against the spread, 2-2 over-under. You know, was last week the coming out party for Zach Wilson? Is this a new-look Jets team that is still a plus 140 moneyline underdog in London? Plus 3.5 points, minus 122 for your New York Jets. The Falcons, minus 3.5, minus 102, minus 175 money line favorites. And then the over-under of 46.5 at Tipico Sportsbook, minus 108 on the over, minus 112 on the under. Minty, get us started with this one. Jets, probably kind of the home team in London, even though the Falcons are officially the home team. Both of those teams over there.
Yeah. I don't like these international games. I feel like the easy answer would be to lay the points of the Falcons because it's only 3 points, but I actually like the Jets here. This is as much of a bet on the Jets as it is against the Falcons, as the Jets showed some life against Tennessee last week. As you said, Zach Wilson threw for two touchdowns, one interception. Their defense recorded seven sacks in that game alone. Atlanta's allowing opposing teams of 32 points per game, while the Jets are only allowing 23-ish points per game. New York's defense is one of the bottom ranked teams against the pass, but they're going up against the Falcons, who are really not that much better. I'm kind of expecting this to be low scoring, and it's stupid because I really don't love any of the games on the board. I might make the Jets my best bet, plus 3.
That is not stupid. You're actually copying my bet slip. I'm just going to piggyback off of your awesome handicap. The New York Jets actually have a better EPA, yards per play, third down conversion, and red zone scoring conversion differential than Atlanta. And this feels kind of square, and I think that's kind of what you're alluding to, Minty, because the Falcons just lost a heartbreaker at home, so like we have a bad lasting image in our head of the Falcons, and the Jets just won an awesome overtime game behind a team that was in the playoffs. So I don't really like buying high and selling low. I think that's what I'm doing here. Whatever. But I think Narrativeville kind of favors the Jets. I'm all about the coach being player-friendly combined with the young quarterback coming off his best game. And I think it's just going to equal more excitement from the Jets, and you need excitement to travel the game overseas. I actually do really well in these London games, and I love it. You know, I'm out here on the West Coast, so I get to wake up and start football partying at 6:30 a.m. So I love these London games. I usually do pretty well in them, and most importantly, this whole Atlanta thing with Matt Ryan especially feels stale. Like, how much different is he than Big Ben? Ryan ranks in between Jared Goff and Carson Wentz in two spots ahead of Big Ben in EPA plus completion over expectation composite. He has a worse DVOA than Big Ben, a worse QBR than Jacoby Brissett. I guess he could be closer to average, but New York Jets defense is sneaky good. Also, we got a pros versus Joes matchup. The pros are hitting the Jets 61% of the money, and the Joes are hitting the Falcons at 61% of the bets. We are getting a little bit of the we're getting kind of the worst of the number, but like Minnie said, I'm fading Atlanta here, so I like plus three with the Jets.
Yeah, not. Okay, fine. Falcons just stink. They're bad. Loser stays in London, I think, is just the best possible outcome of this one. Philadelphia Eagles at 1-3 visit the 3-1 Carolina Panthers, who are coming off their first loss of the season, 36-28 at the Dallas Cowboys. Meanwhile, the Eagles took a 42-30 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs on their home field. And then in this one, Panthers back to favorites, -190 on the money line, +155 for the Eagles, -3.5 points for the Panthers, -108, -112 on Philadelphia. Low total of this one, 44.5, -112 on the over, -108 on the under. Philly got that big week one win in Atlanta, has looked dreadful since. 1-3 against the spread, 2-2 over under. Panthers are 3-1 ATS, 1-3 OU. Made a big trade today for Stephon Gilmore. Not going to be active in week five, however. So J.C. Horn, the rookie cornerback, that loss is still highly notable, as well as the loss of Christian McCaffrey, even though Chuba Hubbard didn't look bad against Dallas, but a 36-28 loss for the previously undefeated Carolina Panthers. Jeff, you want to get us started on this one? Any strong reason to back a Philadelphia Eagles team quickly spiraling in the wrong direction under first-year head coach Nick Sirianni?
I actually have little to say on this game. Both injury reports are pretty important. Philly's got both tackles questionable. Carolina has Christian McCaffrey and Shaq Thompson questionable. So I'm not going to give out anything in this game or even make a bet until maybe before kickoff. If at all, it's a tight spot. I mean, Philly's looked as bad as I thought they were going to be since beating Atlanta. Carolina has looked awesome. Their defenses look good. But when they stepped up in competition against the Cowboys, they got smacked around. And that final score looked closer than it actually was. That said, I have Carolina like power ranked ahead of Philadelphia. But the pros are favoring Philly. There's more money on Philly. And the Joes are favoring Panthers. I got nothing. I'm passing.
Yeah, this line is weird to me because the Panthers blew out their opponents in two of their three wins, and they're clearly the better team. I just got a notification that Christian McCaffrey is back at practice, so who knows if his, you know, game time decision. But Philly's a disaster. But Sam Darnold is flourishing in Carolina, and this guy is tied with Kyler Murray and Derrick Henry for rushing touchdowns. So I don't really see what the Eagles can bring to the table against this hot Carolina team. Yeah, they lost last week to Dallas, but Dallas is actually really good, as much as I hate to say it. Carolina's defense is their strength. It helps that they've got some talented playmakers offensively. So I like the Panthers, but yeah, this line is kind of fishy. And like, you said, Jeff, pros are on Eagles. It kind of makes me a little wary to bet this one.
Yeah, no, Carolina's just beating the teams that they're expected to. They weren't expected to win last week. They kept it close for most of the first half. I'm with you, Minty. I'm really behind the Sam Darnold-led Carolina Panthers team. He has looked excellent. You know, last week is kind of the first time I was able to take proper note, I guess. It was kind of the first game where the Panthers got decent airtime on red zone. And he looked awesome. That offense looked great, especially with some things he was doing down near the goal line, those rushing touchdowns. No, you got to lean against them not keeping up through a whole season, but I don't know. I don't think there's any reason to expect it to come to end against a, as you said, a bad Philadelphia Eagles team. Next 1 o'clock game, the Miami Dolphins at 1-3 visit the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are 3-1, 1 o'clock Eastern kickoff. The Bucs coming off that rain-soaked 19-17 win over the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football. Meanwhile, the Dolphins were upset as favorites at home by the Indianapolis Colts, 27-17 loss. Miami is 2-2 against the spread and over under. Tampa Bay is 1-3 ATS and 3-1 OU. And is this a letdown spot for Tom Brady and the Bucs after, you know, narrowly getting by a game everyone was hyped up for against the Patriots? Or are the Dolphins just so bad that Tampa Bay can easily cover a 10.5 point number here? -105 odds for them, -120 for the Dolphins to stay within 10, +380 for the Dolphins upset, 47.5 point total, -112 on the over, -108 on the under. Minty, your turn to get us started. Well, is this number too big?
Well, I don't have much to say about this game because I would hate to think the Dolphins lose and don't cover again, but I'm not going to overreact to Tampa Bay's lackluster performance Sunday night. I'd never bet a double-digit spread, but if I had to, I would bet the Bucks. They had an off night. It was raining. It was like a monsoon in New England. So I think the Bucks can easily cover here, but this is a stay away for me.
Yeah, I lean to the Dolphins +10. I'm probably going to put it in my circuit contest, depending on whatever like injury news we get late. But I think all the injury news that's pertinent is already baked into this number. I like the under 48. To me, this is an obvious hangover spot for the Bucks, right? I mean, they just played in literally the most hype regular season game of all time. In the rain, on the road, tough victory, hard fought for 60 minutes. The week before, they played the Rams in what was probably the biggest game of the season up until that point. So I don't believe they're going to get up for this game. The head coach of the Miami Dolphins, guy that I love, B-Flow, Brian Flores, his former boss, Bill Belichick, put a bunch of stuff on tape that Miami can use. Specifically, Mac Jones dinked and dunked his way down the field all night long against Tampa Bay's banged-up secondary and a defensive line that's just not getting to the quarterback enough. Tampa Bay is dead last in pressure rate. They're 30th in sack rate. And Pat's defense did a pretty good job versus Brady in week four. And maybe B-Flow can use some of that into his defensive game plan to help keep this number down and keep Dolphins within single digits. Miami's secondary is a lot more talented than the Pats, and Miami's defense has a higher pressure rate on quarterbacks. Also, it's a buy low spot for Miami. This is why I took Indy against them last week in the Circa Millions. You know, Indy was looking bad. No one was betting on them, and Miami just got a lot of love for covering against the Raiders when they probably shouldn't have covered. Miami's just lost to a winless team, so things can't get much bleaker. 90% of the money is on Tampa Bay based on, you know, whatever we've saw out of Miami last week. But we also have some just huge reverse line movement towards the under. This total started at 49.5, and it's down to 48 despite like 90% of the action on the total being on the over. According to pregame.com, I'm going to go ahead and throw them under the bus because I think that number is so ridiculous that it might be an error. So either way, I'm taking the under 48 here.
Okay. Yeah, this Bucks team, we've seen them kind of the last couple of years. They're tough to predict off of these big games. You like to think that they're probably not going to use many of their better plays to beat a Dolphins team they should be able to handle easily. They have no reason to run up the score here. And as we saw last week, yeah, rain and weather was a big factor. But I think they know they can hold the Dolphins to 17 or fewer points pretty easily. And yeah, why are you going to get to 27, 30 points in this one? Probably Dolphins covering the big number is the safer play. I'm with you, Jeff. New Orleans Saints at 2-2 visit the Washington football team, who are also 2-2 off of their 34-30 win over the Falcons. The Saints were upset 27-21 in overtime by the New York Giants. Did not see that one coming. Lost some money on that one, actually. Thank you, Saints. And the Saints coming to this one is -135 money line favorites, -2.5 points, -112 odds, -108 for Washington with 2 points of insurance, +110 on the money line if you're feeling an upset, 44.5 point total, -108 on the over, -112 on the under. Jeff, get us started. Jameis Winston, he's able to take advantage of this awful Washington secondary, unlike the Atlanta Falcons, correct?
Perhaps. I wrote this up for sportsbookwire.com today. I think it's impending. It'll be published some point today, I'm sure, maybe tomorrow. But I'm on the Saints here. I'll just take the money line so I don't have to fuss with the points. I'll play it up to -150. These two teams are neck and neck in strength of schedule, but New Orleans has a massive advantage in EPA differential and high leverage situations, or third down and red zone differential. Washington's dead last in defensive third down conversion rate and second to last in offensive third down conversion rate. So I think Sean Payton, with his offensive acuity or genius, we'll say, is going to be able to use Alvin Kamara and just game plan a way to keep Washington's offense, which has some pop on the sidelines. Also, I think New Orleans' loss to the Giants last season makes this a better spot for the Saints. They're 15-9 against the spread with a +4.1 spread differential following a loss, and the highest cover rate as a road favorite over that span as well. Again, we're just taking them outright here. So, also, Washington's wins feels like a Disney movie. Like, they feel pretty fluky. And the Saints coming off of it, just an epic letdown, right? They lost their first true home game. They're up by 11 in the fourth quarter. They still have a sick roster, sick defense. I like the Saints money line, and I like the under here too. Washington can't get teams off the field. They can't move the chains. New Orleans has the slowest pace offense in the league. They can play keep away from Washington's offense, which again does have a little pop. Also, the Saints have the least explosive offense according to Warren Sharp. So I just see the clock moving all game here. So I like the Saints money line. I like the under 44.5.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I don't hate that Saints money line bet, but I don't know. I would take my chances with the 2.5 points. I feel like Washington's defense isn't what we all expected. They were supposed to be real elite, and it's just a kind of a letdown. So I think the Saints cover easily, but you're right. I think the safer bet would be the money line.
Yeah, and Jameis Winston, he's getting adequate production. I think he's right around his career average in pressure rate and sacks, but he's actually having a career high in yards per scramble attempt. And this Washington football team, they weren't able to get through to Matt Ryan in a very awful Atlanta Falcons offensive line in that high scoring win last week. Yeah. And I think New Orleans is probably one of the best defenses they faced this year. I think New Orleans and the points is my play on that one.
Also real quick, John Bostic is on the IR. He's their linebacker. If Alvin Kamara gets through the first level, it could be trouble for that team all day. So that's just that piggyback onto my own
no secondary already. If you lose any linebacking help, you're in big trouble for Washington. New England Patriots, who are always in big trouble against the Houston Texans team, also always in big trouble. Both teams 1-3. New England off of that 19-17 loss to Tampa Bay, which much closer score than the box score would suggest, at least. And the Houston Texans in a 40-0 loss to the Buffalo Bills that is as bad as it looks by any measure. The Patriots 2-2 against the spread, 0-4 over under. The Texans are 2-2 ATS and over under. The lines for this one: Patriots favored by 7.5 points, -115 odds. Texans 107 to cover 7.5, +330 on the money line for the Texans. If you are into that, 39.5 point total still seems high. minus 115 on the over, minus 105 on the under. The Texans are as bad as we thought they were. Let's go ahead and throw out that week one win over the Jacksonville Jaguars, just like we did with the Jaguars last year and their week one win over the Indianapolis Colts. AFC South, excellent football. Keep it coming. The Texans stink. I just don't know if the Patriots can win by 8 points because I don't know if that offense is good enough. Mac Jones included. Minty, do you believe Mac Jones and the Patriots have what it takes to beat literally anyone by 8 points? Because if they can't do it against the Texans, they can't do it against anyone.
Yeah, you know, I do. I think their performance against the Bucs last week was kind of impressive. I honestly can't believe Houston got shut out by the Bills. I mean, I knew the Bills were good and they're going to do all of the scoring, but I thought the Texans would slip something in like a field goal or a touchdown, but nothing. New England's defense is pretty underrated, and this is such a low total. You're right. I think it is still set kind of high. I lean the under, definitely wouldn't bet it. And if I had to, I'd go with the Pats, lay in the 7.5. Hopefully it gets down to 7, maybe, but who knows? Yeah, Pats in the under, lean.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way I'm laying 7.5, 8, whatever it is, that 7 or up with a rookie quarterback on the road in a letdown game. But the best money or the most consistent winning bet that I've made this year is betting Houston Texans under team win total. I'll probably do that again this game. Belichick is going to shut down Davis Mills in this Houston offense. They'll probably cover. There's just better spots in this board. I'll probably bet the Houston Texans under team total, though.
Yeah, for all we hear about Belichick versus rookie quarterbacks and how well the Patriots played defensively against Tom Brady and the Bucs last week, now he gets not only a rookie quarterback, a third-round rookie quarterback who is also a bad third-round rookie quarterback and with zero supporting cast. Anthony Miller just cut Wednesday before we recorded. Texans, go ahead and throw that week one win. It's all losses the rest of the way.
Here's what's going to happen. Here's how the cover gets ruined, right? They're down. They're up 17-10. It's 7.5-point spread. Mac Jones throws it out in the flat to Damian Harris. A slot cornerback gets his hat on the ball. The ball pops out. They get the ball within the 20-yard line, and they score a short touchdown. The cover is 7.5. Stay away. Stay away, everyone.
Okay. The Denver Broncos now 3-1 off of a loss last week on home field to the Baltimore Ravens. They pay a visit to the 1-3 Pittsburgh Steelers, who fell again 27-17 at the Green Bay Packers last week. They're looking bad. Denver Broncos 3-1 ATS, 0-4 OU. Exact same, or no, sorry, the Steelers are 1-3 ATS, 0-4 OU. So that's why we have a low total of 33.5 points in this one. The Steelers are actually 1.5-point favorites, minus 117 on the money line, minus 108 to win by two or more. The Broncos are minus 112 with the insurance and minus 103 on the money line. Teddy Bridgewater returned to meetings today, Wednesday, expected to be limited in practice Thursday, potentially. If Teddy Bridgewater plays, I'm all over the Broncos here as more of a bet against the Steelers. Drew Locke, I think, makes this more of an even matchup and is probably the reason the Steelers are favored right now. Ben Roethlisberger sucks. Any reason to bet the Steelers, Minty?
No, I don't really like a side here. I mean, Pittsburgh is really struggling offensively, and Big Ben looks rough. They just can't generate enough yardage or points. And the Broncos, I mean, is Bridgewater good to go? Without him, they'll probably not put up any points, but that defense is fifth in passing and rushing yards per game, as well as second in opponent points per game. So that's actually pretty impressive. I won't bet this one, but I will look to the under.
Kind of just going to piggyback off of Minty again. Pitt's offense makes them a stay away, especially against Denver's defense. Drew Locke makes Denver a stay away. I mean, Denver had the third easiest strength of schedule. Pittsburgh has the second toughest strength of schedule. Denver stepped up in class last week and just got smacked around by Baltimore. Granted, Teddy went out early, you know, but before that, I didn't even like how Denver is playing against Baltimore's defense. I agree with the pricing. I mean, if Teddy plays and Denver somehow gets to 1.5 and higher, I'll put it in a teaser, but nah, I'm passing straight up.
Works for me. Yeah. Figure this as a field goal game, probably give a slight advantage to Brandon McManus in that case. I don't know.
Oh, Drew Lock is throwing touchdown passes to the Pittsburgh's defense if he's out there.
Yeah, that's true. Boy, does he suck. Detroit Lions 0-4 at the Minnesota Vikings 1-3. The Vikings 14-17 home loss to the Cleveland Browns last week. The Lions 24-14 loss to the Chicago Bears. And, you know, probably the first game this year, they didn't look like they, I don't know, second game this year, they didn't have a chance in at all. The Lions are 8.5 point underdogs now. The Vikings minus 400 on the money line, plus 300 for Detroit. And what would be a big upset? Minus 108 for the Lions, or for the Vikings to win by 9 or more, minus 112 for the Lions with the insurance. 49.5 point total as we get back up to the higher numbers here on the slate. Minus 112 for the over, minus 108 for the under. Jeff, big Detroit Lions fan. Big enough to take them against the Minnesota Vikings team that, an ugly 1-3. They've played much better pretty much in every game.
Nah, their center, who's probably their best player, Frank Ragnow, I think that's ASA, he just got sent to the IR. To me, if this gets like 8.5 or lower, this is a no-brain teaser because the Lions are cursed and the Vikings under Mike Zimmer win at home. So teasing below 3 at home, or Minnesota below 3 at home, should cash. But, you know, since Minnesota traded for Cousins 2018, Vikings are 7-2 straight up, but 3-5-1 against the spread when laying at least 7 points at home. Everyone remembers that 17.5 or that loss to the Buffalo Bills when they were favored 17.5 a couple years ago. So they're known to put up stinkers, and Lions go into what I call Michael Myers modes in game. Michael Myers mode in game. Sorry. They just look dead and somehow almost cover it. It's ridiculous. And there's some reverse line movement, 86% of the handles on Minnesota, but it looks like it's heading down in the consensus number. So that's kind of sketchy. And speaking of sketchy, I don't trust Kirk Cousins to win by margin. I don't even really believe this dude is much better than Jared Goff. They hang out in the same EPA plus completion percentage, over expectation neighborhood. He's just got sick wide receivers to throw it to. So I'm going to pass because Kirk Cousins can't be trusted. However, let me just say this. As a rule, I don't play a lot of overs for player props. Unders are just way more profitable, but Dalvin Cook could go off here. Detroit has the third worst rush defensive DVOA, and we know Zimmer likes to run Dalvin Cook. Minnesota gave the ball Dalvin Cook. They gave Dalvin Cook, 9 carries last week in a one-score game against Cleveland. That cannot happen. that absolutely cannot happen. He went off for 200 yards in the last game against the Lions. They're getting their best player the football this week. So I like the over in a player prop as long as it's not like egregious. If it's under like 92.5 rushing yards, I'll take that. But I pass in the game and the total.
Yeah, fun fact, I hate betting on the NFC North. It's the division I always get wrong. It's my least favorite division to bet on. I try to stay away from the Bears, Lions, Vikings, Packers. But if I had to, I don't know. The Vikings are 6-1 against the spread against the Lions, their last 7. But 8.5 is tricky. I don't like betting favorites at that number. I think the Lions, they're bad, but they're a little better than I thought. So I like the Lions here.
You taking that to the window, Minty?
No. I don't want to donate my money to the sports book this week.
Let's clarify it as a lean.
You got to watch it.
Yeah, exactly. I got to watch it if I bet it, so I'm not.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. The Green Bay Packers, 3-1. Visit the 3-1 Cincinnati Bengals. Both teams wins last week. Packers 27-17 at home versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Bengals at home on Thursday Night Football against the Jaguars 24-21 come from behind win. The Packers are minus 165 road favorites, plus 133 for the Bengals for another home upset as they pulled in week one over the Vikings, who we just discussed. Minus 3.5 points is what Green Bay is laying with even money, plus 100. The Bengals are plus 3.5, minus 125. Over under 51.5, minus 103 on the over, minus 117 on the under. Packers 3-1 against the spread, 2-2 OU. Bengals 2-2 ATS, 1-3 OU. Jeff, talking to you previously, big Bengals guy, especially against the Packers, even though they've strung up three wins in a row, including a big NFC game last week against the 49ers.
Yeah, it's 3.5 on Tipico.
3.5 on Tipico.
I wish I lived in Colorado and New Jersey. I'm going to have to start texting people, get some money down over there. Cincinnati has a higher points per play, yards per play, red zone differential. Green Bay has a higher sack and third down differential, but they're still in the negative. Green Bay is minus an EPA differential. Neither team has played a difficult strength of schedule. There's a pretty crazy line freeze here. The Packers are getting like 90% of the money, and the line hasn't moved from the opener. And I guess you can still get a 3.5 on some shops, so that's pretty sweet. Also, if you do the 6-point flip angle, where you give you switch game locations and give the visiting team the 3-point home edge, which is being disputed as if home point or if home field is actually a 3-point edge, I think Green Bay and Lambeau is a true 3-point home field edge. So if you flipped it back, they'd be laying 9 points in the spot. That's far too many points. Also, since he gets some extra prep, maybe Zach Taylor has some insight to Matt LaFleur's strategy because they both run Sean McVay's offensive coaching staff in L.A. for a season. I've lost some money to the Packers recently, but I'm taking the Bengals here. I am.
I like that. This line is quite surprising to make the Bengals only a 3.5-point underdog against Green Bay. That says a lot about Cincinnati. Usually I'm all over the Bengals as underdogs. I'm a little wary because that line is kind of short. I have been doing really well with live betting, so I think I might wait for the Packers to take the lead. And if I can get Bengals plus 6.5 or more, I think I'll take it because I really think they could cover 6 points or more.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is pretty strong and pretty quick market correction to the Bengals, the team not expected to do much of anything coming into the year. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, those look great, getting a lot of hype and getting a lot of attention. Still plus 9,000 to win the Super Bowl at 3-1. But I agree with you, Minty. I think this line is a little too soft. I like how the Packers have looked the last couple of weeks. Going to have to go against you on this one, Jeff. But well,
good luck.
That's why we wait until Sunday.
Hey, Minty, can you DM me your live bets? Because I'm pretty much lighting money on fire when I live bet.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I tweet them out every time I bet. So I'll try to put you in that newsletter.
You know what? You're going to be the first person I hook up the notifications thing for.
There you go. There's a first for everything.
Final 1 o'clock game here. The Tennessee Titans are laying 4.5 points against the running joke of the NFL once again in 2021, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are 0-4 and in a world of hurt on and off the field. The Titans are 2-2, coming off a 27-24 loss in overtime at the New York Jets. Once again, they were severely shorthanded, especially at the wide receiver position. And boy, did that hurt them. And the Jaguars blew a lead and lost a game they shouldn't have, 24-21 on Thursday Night Football at the Cincinnati Bengals. And most of us know what happened from there, at least in the immediate aftermath. The Jaguars 1-3 against the spread, 1-3 over under. Titans are 2-2 against both numbers. This number seems to still be balancing a little too heavily the off-field distractions circulating around the Jacksonville Jaguars and potentially considering a little too much how everyone just likes to make jokes about them and then subsequently bet against them. The Titans looked lost without AJ Brown and Julio Jones as expected. Don't know as of Wednesday how healthy either one will be if they manage to play this week. It should be another matchup where Derrick Henry can carry the team to victory, but that should have been able to happen last week in New York as well. Jaguars plus 4.5 is the softest of leans to me right now, although that may become too popular of a bet by the end of the week, especially if we get a bad Titans injury report. Minty, any thoughts? Oh, Jeff.
No, let her take it first. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, I actually really, really like this game. Tennessee's downfall is that they can't protect Ryan Tannehill. He's the most sacked quarterback with 17 sacks, followed by Zach Wilson. And their strength is their ground game and Derrick Henry. So if the Jags can essentially slow down this absolute unit of a running back and pressure Tannehill, then Jacksonville has a chance. Now, do I think the Titans, after losing to the Jets, will then lose to the Jags? Probably not, but it's not impossible. I really like the Jaguars in this spot, and I hope the line gets bet up, but I'm seeing that it opened at Titans -7.5, and a lot of the bets are on the Titans, but now it's moved down to 4.5, 4. So I'm a little confused. I don't want to get a bad number, so I think I'll wait this one out.
Oh man, that's a great point. I'm with you, Minty, on this one. The Titans are getting all the action because of non-football reasons, when really most of their football tape is just trash. They can't play any defense. They're not good on third down. They're not good in the red zone. They have some significant injury problems. Their guard Saffold is their highest rated offensive lineman according to PFF. And if, speaking of DMs, if either one of you get practice news, yay or nay on AJ Brown or Julio Jones, by all means hit me up, because if neither one of them play, or if one of them misses, then I'm gonna hammer the Jags. Not hammer, I'm definitely gonna bet them, because like Minty said, it did start at 7.5 according to all the sites that I use. It's just, this is crazy reverse line movement, whether they're whether they're booking faces, or I don't know how this line is moving. I mean, I think Vegas sees something, right? You have all the market betting on Twitter, right? And people that are angry at the Jaguars and Urban Meyer for whatever reason, or for the obvious reasons, but that's not football related. I mean, Titans aren't a very good team. They should not be 4-point favorites against a divisional team. Granted, with a new coaching staff on the road. So I'm going to wait until the final injury report. I lean Jaguars.
All right. Moving into the 4 o'clock slate, but first a refresher of our sponsor, Tipico Sportsbook, a global sports betting leader, is now live in New Jersey and Colorado. Make your favorite sports more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook app. For a limited time, new users from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Terms and conditions apply. Ages 21 and up. See site for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey, 1-800-522-4700 for Colorado. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. And now into the 4 o'clock slate, where we have a couple of decent matchups, but not quite the same as the 4 o'clocks last week. The Chicago Bears 2-2 at Minty's Las Vegas Raiders 3-1. The Bears off of a 24-14 win over the Detroit Lions. Justin Fields officially named the starter going forward, at least up until the moment Matt Nagy falls in love with Andy Dalton once again. The Raiders are coming off a 28-14 loss at the Los Angeles Chargers on Monday Night Football. The Bears 2-2, ATS 1-3 over under. Raiders 2-2 against both. The Raiders are -240 home favorites here. Bears are +190 on the money line. +4.5 points for the Bears, -107. -4.5 for the Raiders, -115. 43.5 point total. I'm going to go ahead and say that's low, -105 for the under, -115 for the over. Over 43.5, my favorite bet from this game, just right away, immediately. I think we see Justin Fields unleashed a little bit and play a little bit more relaxed now that he has a little bit of respect from his head coach, at least publicly. But the Raiders, I think this is a good bounce back spot for them off of a tough divisional loss last week. I think they get back to stay in that NFC or AFC West divisional hunt. Minty, because this is your hometown team, what are your feelings on the Raiders here?
Well, you're going to be disappointed because I don't really know what side I would take, nor do I have a feel for the total. I think it's set. Oh, man, they're really expecting it to be low scoring, huh? I think it really can go either way. I have a stronger lean on the under. The Bears are allowing the 11th least total yards per game, and I can see this defense being a real issue for Vegas. I could also say the same thing about the Raiders defense towards the Bears and Justin Fields, but I do think the Raiders are the better team. I just don't know if they're really 4.5, 5 points better. Raiders win under. I think it's going to be kind of a boring game.
Yeah, I pass. There's no way I'm laying more than 3.5 with the Raiders. They're a team I like to get points with. Since they hired Gruden in 2018, they're 1-7 against the number as 3.5 point favorites or higher. So, also, I hit the Bears last week and feel like I got a little lucky to have cashed that ticket, considering I actually rather be betting on Andy Dalton. And the Lions choked versus Chicago in the red zone on week four. So, I got a little lucky. Just going to take my week four win and stay away from the Bears, Raiders. Raiders, a team that I love. You know, I love the Gruden and Carr vibe and the Vegas vibe, but not in this spot.
All right. No time or no sense spending more time on the Cleveland Browns 3-1 at the 3-1 Los Angeles Chargers, 4:05 p.m. Eastern kickoff. The Chargers are favored on home field, -125 on the money line, laying 1.5, -115 odds there. The Browns are +102 on the money line, +1.5 points, -107 odds, 46.5 point total, -117 on the over, -103 on the under. The Browns, they beat the Vikings 14-7 on the road. Stay on the road this week. The Chargers, 28-14 home win over the rival Raiders on Monday Night Football. Is that going to be a factor here, Jeff, or can the Browns and probably give them the defensive edge here? Can they get to a sophomore Justin Herbert, who has finally strung together a couple real good games here and is starting to look back to his rookie self?
This is the toughest game to handicap. Maybe the Bills Chiefs is more difficult, but I mean, this game's tough. The pros lean, or the pros favor the Browns, the Joes favor the Chargers. I lean to the Chargers. I'm siding with the public here on this one. You know, LA has gotten more expensive since this game is open. And the sharp play just feels like people are looking at Football Outsiders rankings. You know, Cleveland's ranked fourth. Chargers are ranked 14th. And the preseason line, because, you know, the Chargers have a much stronger strength of schedule and a much higher EPA differential. It feels like they've gotten better each week, and I don't know if I could say the same for Cleveland. They have looked pretty good. I mean, the Chargers have a higher sack percentage. They have a higher offensive third down conversion rate, and I just think Herbert's better than Mayfield. So I lean to the Chargers, and I also lean to the under 46.5 because the pros are on the under, the Joes are on the over, and the total opened at 50. So the under is the wise play, but all that line movement, you know, only makes it a lean. Also, the Chargers are 1-3 over under, and Cleveland has a 26th ranked neutral situation pace. Both defenses have low average explosive play rates, so I might incorporate in a teaser, but truthfully, I'm just going to lean to the under 46.5.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a great game of defense. The Browns, originally opened as a 1-point favorite. After that Chargers win on Monday night, the Chargers are now favorites of 1.5. I don't know who to side with, because I actually really do like the Chargers here. So I also agree with Jeff. I like the under 46.5. And you're right, that's a big line move from 50 to 46.5, or total move. But I like the under here.
All right. Works for me. I got to go with the Browns, I think. You know, as you say, the line flip, you know, takes away from what the Browns did last week. You know, only 14 points, but against a solid Vikings defense, a quickly improving Vikings defense in a hostile environment, I think that's good. And, you know, easier road test in LA where, you know, you don't get a whole lot of fans. The San Francisco 49ers 2-2 at the Arizona Cardinals 4-0. 4:25 p.m. Eastern kickoff. The Cardinals -240 on the money line, laying 5.5 points as the NFL's final undefeated team. The 49ers are +5.5, -110 odds, +190 on the money line, 49.5 point total, -112 on the over, -108 on the under. The Niners 28-21 home loss against the Seattle Seahawks. The Cardinals 37-20 win at the Los Angeles Rams. The Cardinals are 3-1 ATS, 2-2 OU. 49ers are 1-3 ATS, 2-2 OU. a lot of calls for Trey Lance to fully emerge as a starter over Jimmy Garoppolo. Not sure if that's going to happen Sunday. Can the 49ers and quarterback X stay within 5 points of the 4-0 Cardinals, Minty?
Yes. I love the NFC West, and this one's a tough matchup, but I only like to bet on Arizona as underdogs, as they're 7-3-1 against the spread as dogs, but 3-5 against the spread as favorites. So San Francisco's got some issues offensively, and the whole quarterback thing still a little hard to read. I would be okay with either. And I actually kind of expect an upset too. I think this is a great spot to bounce back for the Niners. I love the Cardinals, but 5.5 points is just a little much, and they have been performing exceptionally and average like the most points per game here. I also look to the over, but I think the Niners do get back into the groove of things. I like them to cover, possibly win straight up, and looking at, what did I say? Did I say over or under? I like the over.
Oh, wow. I actually don't believe for a second that Jimmy G plays Sunday. Shanahan's a notorious press conference BSer, and all this wishy-washiness from him is just kind of what he does. I think we're getting Trey Lance. Maybe I'm wrong on that. It's only a lean to the Cardinals, 5.5, just because it feels like an absolute buy-high spot for the Cardinals. Like, I'm getting them at the wrong time. Like Minty said, they're not great as a favorite. Trey Lance threw 40 touchdowns and 0 interceptions at North Dakota. Whoop-de-doo. Like, welcome the NFC West, kid. The hardest division in football. This kid ain't ready. Jimmy G is graded 30 out of 35 eligible quarterbacks, according to PFF, at a 60.8 grade. Trey Lance graded at 50.1 last week. This could be a long day for him. Also, Trey Lance's ceiling is Kyler Murray. So Arizona's defense practices against a max-out version of Trey Lance every single week. If I'm Arizona's defensive coordinator, I just line up and dime. I put Isaiah Simmons out there to spy Trey Lance, and I just shut down Trey Lance running the ball. Throw into zones. Try to make anticipation throws. San Francisco's injuries are piling up with Jimmy G, Trent Williams, George Kittle. Josh Norman, who they probably shouldn't even be relying on, and Kaywan Williams, all are questionable. Who knows if they play? It's kind of a sucker play, but I do lean to the Cardinals.
Revenge on the mind of Kyler Murray and the Cardinals here as well. Two teams split their divisional series last year, 1-1, but the 49ers' 2012 victory in Arizona later in the season, meant a lot more against the Cardinals than it did for the 49ers at that point in the season. So, yeah, I think that factor, as well as wanting to stay undefeated and wanting to stay atop the NFC West, I think there's plenty of reasons to back a Cardinals team that, hey, by the way, is also the much better football team in 2021. The New York Giants are 1-3 at the Dallas Cowboys, are 3-1 off of their 36-28 win over the Carolina Panthers last week. The Giants got their first win in a 27-21 road upset of the New Orleans Saints in overtime. The Giants are 2-2 against the spread and over under. The Cowboys are 4-0 ATS, 3-1 OU, and they're -300 moneyline favorites while laying 6.5 points at -122 odds, +6.5, -102 for the Giants on the spread. +230 on the money line if you're interested. 52.5 point total. -112 on the over. -108 on the under. Minty, Cowboys keep rolling here. Or are the Giants for real now? Daniel Jones continues to look good, has looked good in pretty much 4 games.
Oh, I got to take the Giants here. They're feeling good coming off that straight up win in New Orleans. As big underdogs, they're big underdogs again. It's a divisional game. I know the Cowboys look like serious playoff contenders with that offense, and they're 6-2 against the spread versus the Giants, and 4-0 against the spread this season so far. But this is a spot where I'd rather take the ugly divisional dog than put my trust in Dallas. No matter how good they look, I promised myself I wouldn't bet on the Dallas Cowboys, so I would rather bet on the Giants, even though more risky than the Cowboys.
Yeah, we got the Jason Garrett revenge game.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Giants fan. I recuse myself. I'm biased on this one. I think we can cover. And for what it's worth, Giants are 11-1 against the number in their last 12 as a road dog. They're awesome getting points on the road. If any of you have ever seen Silver Linings Playbook, I'm pretty much Robert De Niro with the Giants right now. I was in St. Louis this past weekend for a wedding, so I watched the game in there and saw that miraculous comeback. I might fly back to St. Louis just for the juju this weekend. Hopefully they beat the Cowboys. Go Giants. I can't help myself, but I'm not betting it.
All right, yeah. Cowboys look good. I'm all in on the Cowboys, I think, at this point. Plus 1,500 for the Super Bowl. I was with you, the Giants, to win the NFC East in the preseason, Jeff, but before last week, before this matchup, you were coming around on the Cowboys too.
Yeah, I mean, Trayvon Diggs looks like Charles Woodson out there. I'm willing to rip up my Cowboys to miss the playoffs ticket, but I'm holding out some hope.
Oh boy. Okay, Sunday night football then, our penultimate game here on Bet Flipping Podcast, week 5, 8:20 p.m. kickoff. The Bills 3-1, the Chiefs 2-2, but still the Super Bowl favorites at plus 550. The Bills are plus 120 money line road dogs, plus 2.5 points. The Chiefs minus 122 to cover and win by 3 or more, minus 102 for the Bills on the other side, minus 145 money line for Kansas City. High total of 56.5, as expected, minus 110 odds on either side. Kansas City won last year's AFC championship game 38-24 on home field. They're 3-point favorites. And they also won the October 19th meeting 26-17 in Buffalo as 5.5-point favorites. Minty, saw you tweet earlier this week that Bills plus 2.5 was your favorite bet of NFL Week 5.
So stupid. I should have just waited till it got back to 3, but I didn't think it was going to. And now I only see it on Bills plus 3, and I just want to I want my money back. But I'm all over the Bills still. It's not just because the Chiefs are bad at covering the spread, but because the Bills are the real deal. They shut out 2 opponents in 4 games already. I don't care who those opponents are. I know one of them were the Texans, but that's still big. And the Chiefs have kept games pretty close against good opponents. So I like the Bills here, and I like them to win straight up.
Yeah, I lean to the Bills. There's been sharp movement on the Bills thus far, though, and 70% of the handle is on them, which brought the line down from 4 to 2.5. I guess Minty's saying there's 3 some places. So if it gets up to 3.5, I love the Bills. I mean, they're ahead in EPA, yards per play, sack, third down, and red zone differentials. But KC's played the third toughest strength of schedule. Bills have played the easiest strength of schedule. I have faith KC gets up in the spot, which is pretty rare for them, but I have no faith in their defense stopping Buffalo's offense. So I'll take Buffalo, lean Buffalo 2.5.
Yeah, I agree. The Kansas City defense has been bad, is bad, and Buffalo's defense looking good. But unlike Minty, I do factor in who Buffalo has played here. Wall up the Texans, went into cruise control against the Washington football team and, pretty handily beat a Miami Dolphins team, which we now know is officially bad. Kansas City, as Jeff said, much tougher strength of schedule. And at 2-2, they're still in the basement of the AFC West. A lot of motivation here. Home field, primetime spot, Sunday Night Football. Looked great last week in 42-30 handling of the Eagles on the road. I'm on Kansas City here. I think they continue to put the pedal down. And, they're not worried about losing games they should be worried, but I guess they weren't enough. Losing games to the Chargers, apparently the Ravens. They consider the Buffalo Bills their top competition in the AFC, as they should. They handled them twice quite easily last year. I think we get more of the same in their first of what could quite possibly be 2 meetings in 2021. Or 2022 as well. The Indianapolis Colts and Baltimore Ravens close things down on Monday Night Football, 8:15 kickoff. The Colts now 1-3 off of their first win last week. The Ravens moved to 3-1 with a 23-7 road win over the Denver Broncos. The Colts, they only beat the lowly Dolphins. 2-2 against the spread and over-under for Indianapolis. Same for Baltimore. Plus 6,000 Super Bowl odds for the Colts now. Plus 1,200 for the Ravens. They're still right in the running, as they should be at 3-1. 6.5-point home favorites, minus 122 odds for Baltimore, minus 102 for Indianapolis to cover plus 6.5, plus 250 money line odds for the Colts as underdogs, minus 320 for the home favorite Ravens. 45.5-point total, minus 108 on the over, minus 112 on the under. Jeff, you want to lead for, you know, favored Minty for the first takes on these this week? You want to close it up with the Monday Night Football and any reason to bet Carson Wentz and the Colts after they somehow got a win last week?
Well, hopefully Minty shines in this one because I don't got much. Around 80% of the handles on Baltimore last time I checked. This is, pros are on the under, Joes are on the over, so I would like the under, but this line has moved from 49.5 to 46. Lamar's an icon, right? I love that guy's game, and he's killing it, but everyone's taking Ravens minus or down to minus one on teasers, moneyline parlays, and it feels weird to me, and Baltimore's played some tight games already, so I'm just going to pass. Minnie, what do you got?
Well, I think Baltimore being favored by essentially a touchdown or more is crazy to me. Despite Indy's like 1-3 record and their poor defense, I really don't think this is a bad team. And I like the Colts to cover. If it gets to 7, I'm betting 7. Hoping people bet this number up, so by betting on the Ravens, so I can get a better number for the Colts. And it's times like this I wish Philip Rivers still played for the Colts.
Nice. I don't hate that. Well, that covers the Week 5 slate. As tradition, though, at the end of every Bet Slippin' podcast, we like to go to the window with our best bets. So let's wrap this puppy up and go to the window.
The Bet Slippin' podcast. Going to the window.
Okay, Minty, since you are our honored guest and you got to get out of here, why don't you give us a couple of your best bets, plug all of your stuff, and just remember before you bounce that you have an open invite to the Bet Slippin' podcast because we and the listeners love you. Minnie, what do you got this week?
Thanks. I mentioned earlier the Jets plus 3 is one of my favorite bets here. They're kind of ugly, so get prepared. I'm definitely going to in-game bet the Bengals if I can get Bengals plus 6 or more. Also, loving the Jaguars over the Titans. I almost said Texans. If I could get them more, you know, plus 5 or so, I would probably bet them, but maybe this is another in-game opportunity. Still liking the Jags, and that's about it. I'm Minty Betts. You can catch me on Twitter at Minty Betts, M-I-N-T-Y. Also follow on Yahoo Sportsbook on Twitter and TikTok at Yahoo Sportsbook for all sorts of content and contests.
Great job. Thank you, Minty, for joining us again. We'll see you around. I'll be talking shit to you on Twitter or something. And DM me your live bets, for God's sakes. I got to keep a roof over my head.
Will do. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Esten, now over to you. What do you got for sides, totals, teasers, props, whatever? Where are we making money? You killed it last week.
Yeah, we've got 4 sides here, as that seems to be the recipe at this point in the season through 4 weeks. 3 winning weeks, 1 horribly losing week, up 1.75 units through 4 weeks. So, hey, at least we're not down. I'm on the Carolina Panthers, minus 3.5, minus 108 on the Los Angeles Rams, minus 2.5, minus 110 on the New Orleans Saints, minus 2.5, minus 112. And I'm on the Kansas City Chiefs, minus 2.5, minus 112. Going against you and Minty on that one, I'm okay. I may wait until closer to Sunday Night Football kickoff, try to get some of that pro Bills love in there to potentially get an even better number, but I have no problem laying the 2.5 if I have to. I think this game just means more to the Chiefs since the Bills pretty much already have the AFC East locked up. Kansas City handled them quite easily twice last year, including the AFC Championship game. And, you know, they're still digging themselves out of a hole in the AFC West. So I like them to win by 3 or more. They've also played tougher opponents, whereas Buffalo, maybe they're a little too accustomed to cupcake opponents after seeing 3 in a row. And technically 4, because somehow they lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So this is by far their toughest test of the season. And I like a highly motivated Chiefs, and always will.
Is that your entire slip, Essen, or do you want me to throw it back to you after a couple of my bets?
That's 4 bets, and I'm out.
All right, perfect. Week 4 was great for me on the Bet Slipping podcast. I was only 3-2 in the Circa Millions, but for you guys, I was 5-1 last week. I hit with the Bears minus 2.5, the Cowboys minus 5, the Jaguars plus 7.5. under 46 in the Packers Steelers, even though that was a sweat. And a teaser with the Seahawks up to 8.5 and Vikings up to 7.5. So I got that one by a half point as well. I did lose with the Bucks -1. They obviously won and covered that teaser leg, but the Titans lost outright, so they didn't cover my 1.5 teaser leg. For week 5, my sides are the Saints money line. I'm not going to fuss with the points. I don't hate if you do, but I don't know. I'm going with the money line. I played up to -150. Think it's floating around anywhere from -120 to -135 right now. Again, still beneath my buy price. I also like the Jets at +3. Hopefully it gets to 3.5. Hopefully it doesn't move down to 2.5. Be sure to shop around for the best number. If you're in Colorado, New Jersey, and listen to this podcast, check out Tipico first and see if they have your number and help us out, right? Anytime you check their sports book out, you indirectly help out the Bet Slippin' podcast. And I also got Cincy +3 as I think where it's at consensus. If you get 3.5, perfect. That's more ideal. Two totals. I'm going under 48 with the Dolphins Buccaneers. I'm going under 44.5 with the Saints and Washington football team. And for my 6-point teaser, going back to the well, baby. Vikings -1.5 over the Detroit Lions. Actually, I think it's at 9 right now in Tipico. So again, shop around. Obviously, read your sportsbook's teaser rules, but be looking for the Vikings to get underneath the key number of 3. And I'm also going to take the Seahawks up to +8.5. I think their offense can do enough against LA's questionable defense to at least keep it within one score. That's my 6-point teaser, sides, totals, and my entire bet slip for this week. On behalf of Eston and Minty, who has since went on to other things in her day, this is Jeff. Please do us a favor, share, like, follow, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Just show Bet Slippin' some love wherever you get podcasts. We're on Apple, we're on Spotify. Be sure to check out our daily written handicaps for all major sporting events on our presenting website, sportsbookwire.usatoday.com. Again, for all our Colorado and New Jersey listeners, check out Tipico Sportsbook. Until next time, peace.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire. Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.